1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm just going to read verses 9 through 16. But, as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them, because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let's pray. God, I confess that sometimes your ways seem strange to me. With, God, the eternal power of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to communicate things in perfection and with perfect precision and that would satisfy and stir our souls to life. God, I wonder why in your wisdom and by your grace you have decided that you would call your people to speak your word to each other. God, we are woefully inept teachers. Even those who are skilled, God, at teaching, we stand before you and say, but you, God, are a better teacher. But why is it that you have chosen to use people? God, we know it is because you are a God of great grace and mercy. You take great pleasure in speaking truth through your people who speak your word. God, you don't call us to things you don't equip us for. You've called us to be teachers of the word of God, and you have given us your Spirit inside of us to teach us truth and to empower us to impart truth. God, we would come up with many, many excuses as to why we can't do this. And probably a lot of those have some legitimacy to them in our minds and in the minds of other people. But God, you have no use for our excuses. You have called us to something good and glorious. So I pray today that you would stir in all of us a desire to be teachers of the Word of God and listeners to it. In Jesus' name, amen. So I think it's really great and wonderful that our Lord Jesus has actually given us instructions about what we as Christians are supposed to be doing in this world. We call it the Great Commission. It comes in Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to build off of this passage this morning, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, where it says, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now here's your commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So that's it, Christians. This is our mission. Make disciples of Jesus Christ. We are to help people of all nations have faith in Jesus and follow Jesus. That's it. Thank the Lord that he actually told us what we're supposed to be doing, because I like to know what I'm supposed to be doing. And when I read this passage again, I noticed three stages that Jesus talks about in discipleship. Notice there's the beginning of discipleship, the beginning of following Jesus, baptism. And then there's the end of our discipleship. He calls this the end of the age. Behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. So you got the beginning and the end, and he tells us everything in between. It's teaching. Teaching. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. This is it. This is how we make disciples. Christians teaching Christians all that Jesus has commanded. Christians teaching each other the Bible. This is how we make disciples of Jesus from baptism to glory. There was an interesting study done in 2008 by Willow Creek Church from Chicago. If you're not familiar with Willow Creek, it's one of these, it's a huge church, and it's kind of one of the leaders in what was called the seeker-sensitive movement of mega churches. And they did a study called Reveal. And it's great because it's revealing, right? That's how it should work. What they wanted to understand was, is what we're doing working? They wanted to know, are we helping people actually grow in their relationship with Jesus? Are we helping Christians to mature as Christians? And here's a quote from an author who's sort of evaluating this study. Here's what he says, quote, "Do you know what they discovered? The number one catalyst for spiritual growth was Bible study." Bible study. That's it. It's really commendable that a movement that in many ways, and a church that was marked by programs and strategies and business savvy applied to the church, was willing to say, hey, is what we're doing actually working? It's very commendable that they did that. And they found what they should have found, that God works to mature his people through his word, like imparted by his people, illumined by the Spirit. Like, we don't need surveys to tell us this. We have the word of God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual." I mean, so do you want to see a mighty work of the Holy Spirit in your life and in our church and in your midst? Then open the book. Open your eyes. Open your ears. And open your mouth. Like, Christian maturity is the fruit of being taught the Scriptures and teaching the Scriptures. This is where the Spirit works. So Christians, you are all teachers of spiritual truths, because you have the Holy Spirit in you. And the last week, I focused on the doctrine of illumination from the same passage. That is how the Holy Spirit makes the Word of God clear to us as we read it with faith. So, and I just kind of went through this argument that when he says, he talks about spiritual truths and things of the Spirit of God and that which is spiritually discerned and that which is taught by the Spirit, all those phrases here in 1 Corinthians 2, this is all culminating in the Bible. What he's talking about is how the Holy Spirit makes God's word, the Bible, clear to us. In these books, these 66 books, we have the glorious plans and purposes and character of God. And all of this is pointing towards one big glorious end. It's all one big story that we call the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is who God is and how he has been working supremely through his son, Jesus. So that what the Holy Spirit does is works in us so that we can see it and understand it and love it and believe it. So now we're shifting, though, from the work of the Holy Spirit in us to how we as Christians then teach each other these truths. We impart this, Paul says in verse 13. You'll notice if you actually go back and read through chapters 1 and 2, you'll notice there's a big emphasis on speaking, on teaching the Word of God. If we're going to strive for Christian maturity, if we're going to make disciples, if we want to see the Holy Spirit work, then we need to be obedient to Jesus and trust that what he says works. We need to teach each other. We teach each other all that Jesus has commanded. We teach each other the good news of Jesus Christ revealed in God's word. And in order for that to work, you must believe that it's sufficient. Now, I'm going to use that word very carefully. When we say that the word of God and the gospel is sufficient, we're not saying that, oh, you know, it'll do. Sometimes we use sufficient that way, right? Like, you know, you eat a meal and it's not enough and you say, that's sufficient. But it's kind of like, it'll do. That's not what we're talking about. When we say that the word of God is sufficient, we're saying, this is all I need. It is so satisfying that it's all I want. Like, I have nothing else outside of God's word that I need. When we in our statement of faith, Article 2, here's how we say this. Say, we believe that God has spoken in the Scriptures, both Old and New Testaments, through the words of human authors. As the verbally inspired word of God, the Bible is without error in its original writings. Now, listen, I'm going to keep reading in a second, but listen to how we state the sufficiency of the Scriptures. We believe that it is the complete revelation of his will for salvation, the ultimate authority by which every realm of human knowledge and endeavor should be judged. Therefore, it is to be believed in all that it teaches, obeyed in all that it requires, and trusted in all that it promises. Like there's a faith here that if we're going to say that the foundation of helping each other mature in Christ is teaching the Bible, we must believe that the Bible is more than just okay. We must believe it is everything that God has given us and everything that we need from him. And we could even say that your interaction, Christians, with the Bible is your fundamental interaction with God. We don't want to put the Bible above God, but this is God speaking to us. And again, we don't want to exclude things like prayer or fellowship in the church. Those things are actually quite integrated with the scriptures. But we must put our priority and our trust in what God, as he says here in 1 Corinthians 2, has freely given us, and where God is actively working, and that is in the scriptures. That's why as individuals, we talked about this last week, we read and study and memorize. That's all good, and the Holy Spirit illumines it. But here's where we have to make the next step. You and your Bible alone are not a complete pursuit of the scriptures. They're not a complete interaction with God. The Holy Spirit works as the Bible is taught, as it is imparted, as it is heard. Notice that emphasis in 1 Corinthians 2. So ultimately, what I'm commending you towards is that you would sit under the teaching of God's word, and you would become a teacher yourself. Because by God's design and the power of the Spirit, we are all teachers of spiritual truths, helping each other to mature in Christ-likeness. Again, this is verse 13 of chapter 2. We impart this, these spiritual truths, these things freely given us by God, we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are Christians. Those who are spiritual. I looked at my notes first. This is Christians teaching Christians. That's what he's talking about. Imparting, this word, it's not a fancy word. It simply means speaking, like with words and sounds, like out of your mouth and into other people's ears. It's teaching and telling. It's person to person. It's face to face. Now, before you think, oh no, he's going to ask me to preach next week. I'm not. I'm preaching next week, Lord willing. I promise. But like, we're not talking about just this. We're talking about Christians in any context speaking the word of God to one another, listening to others who share from the Bible. Like, don't overcomplicate this. It is simply speaking and listening. And it's what we are all called to do. Now, we could focus on a couple of primary realms. This will happen primarily in two places, your home and your church. Right? Where parents teach children, children listen to parents. Like, maybe you live in a house with other adults. You have roommates. You are to teach each other the word of God. Maybe you live alone. Like, open your home for people to come and hear the word of God. Do Bible studies. I would even say fathers, specifically to you fathers, your actions communicate what is most important to your family. Which means as dads, we need to be the leaders in our homes of opening God's word, of teaching it to our families. We need to be the leaders of bringing our families to hear the word of God taught on the Lord's Day in Bible studies. Mothers, you will most likely have the most time of anybody in your house to teach your children the Bible, just how naturally things go. So mothers, teach your children the word of God when they're not old enough to understand it and when they're too wiggly to pay attention. Like, the time will come, right, when they can actually hear this and understand it. I would encourage you, mothers, to go and read, and I put these verses in your notes. Go read 2 Timothy 1:5 and 3:15, 2 Timothy 1:5 and 3:15. Draw a line between those and make that your passionate pursuit. Now, a lot of you are grandparents, right? Grandparents, teach the Bible to your grown kids and to your grandkids. There's something wonderful that grandparents have this ability to say whatever they want, and it doesn't really matter what anybody else in the room thinks. You should leverage that all the time, right? You should be the ones who are passing on the word of God to the next generation. And kids, listen. Listen to your parents, your grandparents, your Sunday school teachers, your pastor. Listen to people teach you the Bible. And but this doesn't mean, kids, you can also be teachers. As you are learning things in God's word, kids, share them with your friends. Share them with your family. I mean, there's this great passage, if you go back to Deuteronomy, that we should all treasure. In Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, I won't go there, but just go look at that. Where God calls us to teach our children and saturate our homes and our communities with the word of God. This is because God has given us his word that we might impart it to each other to help each other mature in Christ. And a majority, like, of the quantity of that work will happen in your home. But second, it will happen in the church. Right? Because this is what we have in a relationship that we call the church. It's a community where we are committed to helping each other grow in our love for Jesus and help each other follow Jesus. So we gather here on the Lord's Day for worship. We meet up in our homes for Bible studies. We do things like go have coffee and we go on walks and we have casual little conversations. Like, all of those are contexts where the Bible can be opened and taught and heard. See, you don't just have to stand here for 40 minutes on a Sunday morning. Like, there are, and we could keep going, there are hundreds of ways in which you can simply open your mouth and open your ears with an open Bible. Because, friends, that's where the Holy Spirit works. That's where the Holy Spirit works to mature us. Now, I'll try to give you some practicals on how to do that in a bit. But I think it starts with this commitment to doing it. Saying, God has called me to be a teacher of his word. I'm going to do that. I'm going to try to be intentional about it in my home and in our relationships. Now, let's make a little distinction here, because this might actually be helpful to you. Imparting, in 1 Corinthians 2, is Christians teaching Christians. You saw that in verse 13. Interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. It's Christians teaching Christians. This is different from what we call evangelism. Right, which is a fancy word for saying sharing the gospel. Evangelism is telling the gospel to anyone and everyone, those who have not believed specifically. That was chapter 1, like verses 18 through 2-5, like that big section. We talked a lot about the gospel and sharing the gospel. But now, here with imparting, we're talking about Christians teaching Christians, or what we might call discipleship. Go and make disciples, teaching them, Jesus said, all that I have commanded you. So evangelism is making nothing known but Christ and him crucified. Imparting the word of God to other Christians, what we call discipleship, is making known the fullness of Christ. And I'm borrowing that phrase from what we read in our scripture reading in Ephesians 4, the fullness of Christ. Let me just give you a clip here from Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. He gave apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Like, that's what we're after. We're after the fullness of Christ. We teach each other all of Christ for all of life. For ministry, for faith, for knowledge, for family, for work, for fun. Like, the goal in evangelism is to make the gospel clearly known, because that is God's designed means to bring about salvation, right? So we make nothing known but Christ crucified, and by God's wondrous grace, he works in the preaching of the gospel to make people alive who were spiritually dead, to give people new life in Christ. But the goal of teaching disciples of Christ, who already have that new life in Christ, is maturity. Like, that we would know God as he has revealed himself to us in Jesus. That we would learn the character of Christ. That we would possess the hope and peace and joy that he promises. That we would behold Jesus our Savior, and we would be like him and we would trust him. This is why we as Christians keep telling each other the gospel. It's not because I think you're not saved. I think you're saved. It's because I'm trying to help you see who Jesus is and know him and love him and follow him. Back to 1 Corinthians 2, this is the point that Paul makes in verses 15 and 16. He says, the spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord to instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. See, this is the amazing thing that God is doing. He is conforming your mind to his. How does he do that? Yes, by you reading the word and the Spirit illuminating it, but he also does that as the word of God is taught to you. The way that you learn to judge all things spiritually is by hearing and imparting the word of God. So Christians, be teachers and learners. This is maybe a good spot to answer all the objections that you've now racked up in your mind as to why this isn't you, of course. I don't know if you're the sort of person that's like, oh, you don't understand my situation, though. You're right, I don't. But God's word will dissect it. So some of you may think, well, listen, I can't teach. Or you might say, I can't learn. You have hindrances. You're shy. You're slow. You're just uncomfortable. And it's not that those things aren't significant and they don't need to be addressed appropriately. But listen, don't check out on this. This is God's word for you. This is God's commission to you. This is where God has promised that his spirit will work. I mean, God gives the Holy Spirit to us to overcome our objections. We impart, verse 13, words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit. Or to maybe say it, if you're a little more negatively minded, not bound by your objections. We teach words taught by the Spirit. Listen, if you have the Holy Spirit, and Christians, you do. All of you do. Then you have everything you need to teach and learn the Bible. Like, all that's required from us is a faith. It's a humility to trust him to teach us and then to use us as he sees fit. So how do you impart spiritual truths? How do we actually do this? The key word here in verse 13 is the word interpreting. Interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Now, this word interpreting here is not what a palm reader does. So a palm reader, I don't even know if these things exist anymore, but like supposedly someone did this at some point. They look at their palm, right? And they interpret a story that you would have never seen on your own. I've looked at my palms 1,000 times and all I see is skin and some lines. Right? But somebody can, an interpreter, a palm reader can look at this and say, wow, let me tell you all about your life and your future. Like, and it's just bunk, right? It's foolish, it's evil. Interpreting spiritual truths is not like that. Interpreting, here in 1 Corinthians 13, the sort of teaching and listening that I'm commending to you, interpreting is more like someone guiding you on a journey they've already been on, right? So that you can see it and enjoy it too, right? Somebody was emailing somebody about some trip and they said, so-and-so person was an excellent tour guide. Well, of course they were. They'd been there. They'd seen it. They loved it. So they brought you along and said, let me show you. That's what we're talking about here. This is what interpreting spiritual truths is. This is what Christian teaching is. We're simply saying, I've gone on this journey. Now come with me. Christian interpreting is uniting truth from God's word to God's people. It's about understanding things that are freely given to us, not mysteriously written on our palms, right? And then telling it to other people in a way that makes sense. So we use fancy words. Maybe this isn't so helpful, but we use words like exposition, which means let me help you see it. Or words like explanation, which means let me help you understand it. Or application, and let me show you how this works. Now, if you're like, okay, you've already lost me. That sounds too complicated. Let me give you something even more basic. Christian teaching is opening God's word with someone else, reading it and asking, what does it tell us about God? What does it tell us about us? So not all Christian teaching requires careful and diligent and precise preparation. As you read the Bible and you learn truth and are changed by the Spirit, share that with someone else. Right? Remember, that's what interpreting is, taking somebody else on that journey. Hey, let me show you what I saw in God's word. Let me share with you a truth that I saw this week. That's what we're talking about. That's Christian teaching. That's imparting. You can do this. Like, just read a chapter of the Bible at some point this week. Hopefully you're already in the habit of doing something even more than that, maybe, but just read something. Like, and when you read it, write something down that you saw and share it with somebody. Just share it with somebody. Somebody in your house. Hey, guess what I just read? Maybe a friend or a coworker. You can even share with me. Start there. This is the simple sort of things that God uses by his Spirit to help mature each other. Now, this isn't to say this in the neglect of preparation. Right? So often when we understand what God has called us to teach the word of God, to hear the word of God, that will drive us to take more time in thinking about how we do both of those. So this word that in 1 Corinthians 2:13 that's translated interpreting. Remember that's English. The New Testament was written in Greek. The word that's translated interpreting. When I was studying this, I found this statement in a dictionary. It said that it means to joint together fitly. And that just made me think of like a master woodworker who can take two pieces of wood and cut them just right so that when they slide it together, it's both strong and functional and beautiful. That's what we're supposed to do. We teach and we listen in a way that helps God's word come together with our lives that is strong and functional and beautiful. And we have the Holy Spirit who helps that happen. The Spirit works through our teaching and listening to the Bible. And so that can start with simply sharing and hearing. And we can then grow as we study. Remember that command from Paul to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15? And this is from the King James, where he says, "Study to shew thyself approved unto God." Study to show thyself approved unto God. "A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So some people think that the Holy Spirit teaches us the Bible by lightning bolts and trances. And like lightning bolts are like where you open the Bible and just bam, all of a sudden truth hits you. And it's not that that doesn't happen from time to time. But like trances where like, okay, I'm gonna learn from God's word, so I'm just gonna have to go into some sort of out-of-body experience to get that. But listen, if you think about how the Holy Spirit inspired the Bible and how God has constructed the Bible, then you'll understand how he teaches us the Bible. I mean, because the Spirit has used things like context and genre and sentence structure and grammar and repetition and narrative and themes and history. Those are all things that you can see. Like, those are all things that you can see without some sort of extraordinary experience or even advanced training. It may not sound that extravagant until you actually try it, but the simple, slow, careful reading of the Bible is how the Holy Spirit teaches us, and that's the primary way that the Spirit prepares us to teach others. Let me give you a way you can try this in the next month or so. So in 3 weeks, I will start preaching through 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It's one chapter, 23 verses. It's not very long. And I'll preach, I don't know, a handful of sermons in that chapter. So you've got a month. Just in the next month, read 1 Corinthians 3 slowly and carefully and ask the Spirit to teach you. Pay attention to words and grammar and history and names and context. Write down commands and promises. Write down things that stand out to you and that you can apply to your life. Make an outline. Write down as many notes as you can. And then before I preach it, share it with somebody. Go teach them. Hey, here's what I'm learning in 1 Corinthians 3. And you know what will happen. You'll come here on the Lord's Day, and you will not be surprised by anything that I say. Because if I'm responsible to do what God has called me to do, and what you are entrusting for me to do, then I will just show you what you've already seen. I will show you what is already there. Because the Spirit who is teaching me is the same Spirit who is teaching you from the same Word of God. See, over time, as you teach and listen and learn from the Spirit, then, you will be matured into Christ's likeness. I mean, opening the Word of God, speaking and listening. This is God's design for, as Paul indicates in verse 9, this is God's design for opening our eyes to see and our ears to hear and our hearts to understand all that God has prepared for those who love him. Right? And because you love him and he loves you, he has given you his Spirit and his people to help you mature in Christ. And you might say, well, yeah, but I don't have all the gifts and I'm not very good at studying. And listen, study and skill and gifting can all be very useful, but they are not the only thing that is useful. We are all called to contribute. We are all called to teach and listen in our own ways. Christians teaching Christians spiritual truths because we have the Spirit. And we can do this, in whatever context God may have you, because we are a people of grace, right? Because we are happy, not that you would perform well for us, but that you would teach us something from God's word. Skill and training and gifting are secondary. When you teach, don't try to impress people. That's not what God's calling you to. He's calling you to impart his word. So one of the ways we try to help in the church due to this is to have Bible studies. Our ladies' Bible study, especially over the last couple of years, has been taking turns teaching each other, which can be intimidating, right? But you can do it because they love you. We've also done over the years, we've trained men to preach. We'll continue to do that. And even if you're in a spot saying, I have kids and I don't even know how to teach them the Bible, like, you need to ask someone for help. We have people who have grandkids, right, who would be happy to come alongside you and teach you how they taught their kids. Skill and training are useful, but far more so is the commitment to simply open your mouth and open your ears with an open Bible. Now, I want to address just a couple of areas that I think are significant. One is preaching. We'll get to that in a second. But the other one is Christian media. Christian media. So we talk about speaking and listening to God's word. Does imparting here in 1 Corinthians 2 include things like books and audio video recordings and even tweets, if people still do that? I don't know. I'm not on Twitter. Can we impart God's word through that? And I think the answer is yes. I mean, after all, we are reading a book that was written by a person, two people. We're studying a letter. So certainly Christian media can be useful. Books and videos and blogs and online preachers can tell you the word of God. You can receive it from them and you can be matured. But I want to put a really big boundary on that. Because person-to-person interaction cannot be substituted by media. And you might say, okay, well, prove that to me. And I think the biggest difference is love. Let me give you an example. You could go out and read a great book on suffering, Christian suffering. I could give you a list of recommendations. And it may be a very impactful and moving book. But you know what the problem is? The author doesn't love you. Or maybe better, you could go sit with a brother or sister from our church in their living room who has suffered greatly and say, tell me what God has taught you from his word in your suffering. And you know what gives more force to their imparting of God's word? It's love. Right? It's the person-to-person love that you can share. Right? You can listen to fantastic preaching online, but I love you. I might not have all the skills or the best training. I may not speak perfectly to your need. I may confuse you more than I help you, but I do love you. A great video production can never replace a shepherd. So I speak from God's word to you when we're together, imparting, because this is where the Holy Spirit works. So it is good, yes, in benefit from Christian media, but never to the neglect of the relationship of love that undergirds face-to-face teaching and listening. Imparting is embodied. Discipleship is relationship. Jesus says where two or more are gathered, that is together, not through a screen, where two or more are gathered, Jesus says, I am present, I am with you. Jesus is uniquely present in the gathering of his people through his spirit in his church. So let's talk about preaching. When God's people gather together to worship, we're here to hear from God. Preaching is God's design for imparting spiritual truths in gathered worship, which means we ought to love preaching, not because the preaching is good, whatever that might mean, or not because the preacher is gifted. We ought to love preaching because the Spirit works to mature us through the word that is imparted. And preaching is a very unique form of imparting and interpreting. So I wanted to give you a few principles about what you should expect from spiritual preaching that sort of arise out of what we've already studied in our text. So what would spiritual preaching look like? First, spiritual preaching is taught by the Spirit. You should ask, does this sermon come from God's word or from that guy's head? has the preacher spent time studying in order to learn and teach? And I'm sharing you these principles because, you know, as much as I hope that I'll be your pastor forever, I know that I will die at some point, and maybe you before me, right? And in the reality of life, like, some of you won't be here in a year. People move and people shift around. Like, what should you be looking for in preaching? First, spiritual preaching is taught by the Spirit. Second, spiritual preaching is simple. That is, are the spiritual truths that are imparted freely given by God? You should be able to check the things that the preacher says by the Bible that's open in front of you. So spiritual preaching is taught by the Spirit. It is simple. Third, spiritual preaching is for Christians. Is the sermon for spiritual people? Now, certainly in sermons, I often try to think, well, there might be people who aren't Christians among us, and I want to speak to you too. But like, the reality is that we have gathered as God's people to worship God. And so the word that comes from God is to spiritual people. Preaching should be for Christians. Fourth, spiritual preaching is in person. That is, both the preacher and the hearer are present. As I talk to all sorts of different Christians over the last, let's say, 18 months, many of them, most of us, maybe even all of us, have participated in some sort of online church. I'm using very deliberate air quotes. Online church. And over and over and over, here's what I've heard from people. It's just not the same. And here's why. Because imparting the word of God is spirit-filled person to spirit-filled person. It's embodied. Preaching is in person. Doesn't mean we can't benefit from it in other means, but like, I hope you've experienced this many times where you say, I can't listen to that through my phone and get the same benefit of sitting in the room and looking at the person and interacting. That's because the Spirit is here and with us. So spiritual preaching is in person. Fifth, spiritual preaching reveals the gospel. I know we've been spending a lot of time on 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, and so you've got to maybe sometimes zoom out and connect the dots. Christ crucified is our message. We tell it to everyone that they might believe. And then we tell it to one another that we might be matured. The gospel is God's revelation of his plan and his purpose and his character. It's the whole story of the Bible. So spiritual preaching helps us see Christ in all of the scriptures. And sixth, spiritual preaching is a relationship of grace. It's spiritual truths imparted by spiritual people to spiritual people. Now, it's good. It's okay. We should have high expectations and standards for preaching, always with a heavy dose of grace. Our standards cannot be about skill or suave. Our standards must be, preacher, give me the word of God with love. That's all I want. Right? So whether the preacher is me, like it is most Sunday mornings, or one of the other men in our church, or a guest, we have to welcome them with grace. If they are imparting the word, we should receive it with joy. For those of you who someday God may call to preach, you should take heart that you are not here to impress people with your precision. You are here to impart to them the word of God. So there's a lot of grace in all the times you will mess up and you won't do as good as you think you should, or you might say something a little bit wrong. And then as listeners, we show grace when somebody messes up, doesn't do as good as we think they should, or says something wrong. Why? Because we're not after a performance. We're not here to see, here's somebody that's really good and made us think they were really good. We're here to hear the word of God. What we ought to be grateful for and love and desire and demand, give me the word of God. So when you listen to preaching, you should come eager to be taught by the Spirit. Open your Bible, follow along, take notes, consider the explanation, the application. Where you have questions, ask them. Where you disagree, graciously offer feedback. Where somebody gets something wrong, correct them in love. Where you're encouraged, share it. Where the Spirit teaches you through someone else's imparting, share it with somebody else. Pass it along, that God would mature you. I mean, I'm grateful for, and so thankful, so thankful for our church that you put such a high value on preaching the Word of God that you pay me to do it. You put food on my table so that I can hole up in my study and know the word of God and pray for you. That is an amazing blessing. I mean, it's beyond even what I can comprehend, which makes me want to work really hard at preaching. I want to be a good preacher. I want to preach good sermons. So I'm going to stay focused here. God's word, taught by God's Spirit, through God's people, to God's people. We must then hold fast to the sufficiency of Scripture. Because if this is really true, if it is really true that the Holy Spirit will mature us, will make us into disciples, will make us Christ-like through the preaching of God's word, then we must believe that this is enough. Not just that it's enough, that it's everything I need and it's all that I want. It is my hope and prayer that Crossroads Bible Church will be a church where the Bible is opened over and over and over, where we do Bible study, because I'm confident that that's where we will grow. That's where we help each other follow Christ. I'm confident that God will grow many of you up to be skilled teachers and skilled listeners. I mean, after all, think about this. Christ's commission is that we would teach all that he has commanded us. I mean, isn't Christians teaching Christians really Christ teaching through us to make us more like Christ? This is what we're after. Christians teaching Christians. You are all teachers of spiritual truths. So let's open the word and teach and listen. May God make it so. Let's pray. God, we do. I pray that you would send your Spirit, who is in your people, to empower us to be teachers of your word. I pray for everybody here today that they would start to see the places where you have called them to open the Bible and open their mouths and share, impart spiritual truths to spiritual people. God, I pray that you would make us a church who's just, it just seems normal to us to study the Bible. And God, I thank you for the many ways in which you've already made that true. God, may it be more so. And God, may you mature us through that. Not that we would be people merely of knowledge, but that we would be people of Christ-likeness, filled with the fullness of Christ because we have taught all that he has commanded and will keep doing it. God, may you bless the reading and teaching and hearing of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.